Is that there we are. Good morning. So, last week we had a really small group because of the holiday, and for those of you who weren't here last week, you can see we have a couple of new additions here up on the front. And we'll start. I'd like to start the service with the Advent, and again, a brief summation of the wreath here. It really started in the 6th century, and it's a tradition that takes the four Sundays before Christmas to celebrate the coming of the Messiah. So Advent in the Latin translates to the coming. And so it's been a Christian tradition for a long time. And basically, we have a wreath that is green, that symbolizes eternal life. We have four candles for each Sunday. We pick a name for a candle, and the name, again, would signify something about Christ. And because as we take each Sunday, we name the candle, and then we light it, and as a result, as we light these each week, the light gets brighter and brighter, and then the center candle we light at our Christmas Eve service, which is our Christ candle. And the color purple represents royalty. The color pink represents joy. And so last week, I started the Advent tradition by naming the candle. Do you remember who was here? What? Hope. Yes, hope. So I chose the name Hope for the candle. And this week, I asked Ben if he and Jade would do the second candle. And Jade's not feeling well, so if you would pray for her, that would be great. But Ben, do you want to come up and you can tell us what you've named the candle? And the names can be really creative, really unique. They can be, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. It's good. It's good. So there we have our second candle, or unique. I've never heard a name. I've never heard that name used for this. Which is really cool. And I love how the Holy Spirit works out. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, of the naming each. It never ceases to amaze me. I ask people to choose a name, and I don't guide. I just say whatever God puts on your heart. And I love every year how you see how the names just kind of all, you know, intertwine, and they always work with the messages. I mean, how could they not? They're all about Jesus, right? So they're all intertwined. So that's our Advent tradition. And then for this beautiful Christmas tree of ours, again, this is the Jesse tree, and on the bulletin, I put a picture of, you have a stump, and really it comes from Isaiah 11:1, and the passage says, a shoot will spring forth from the stump of Jesse, a branch out of his roots. And this tradition, it really goes way back, but traditionally, you have a stump, which is kind of signifies death, right? You've cut the tree down, it's dead, it's gone. But in here we see on the picture on the bulletin, you have that little tiny offshoot coming out that has life to it. And what I thought this year when I put this on the bulletin is in my front yard, those of you who have been over my house, I have that flower bed with trees in it. And somehow these box elder trees grew. And I didn't know they were box elder trees, and I love trees, so I let these two trees grow, and they grew huge, and to the point where they were shading part of my house in the summer, which was really nice, and they had beautiful tree, you know, beautiful branches and big leaves, and it was this gorgeous tree, two trees. And then we discovered that they were box elder trees, which means they housed box elder bugs, and the bugs were so incredibly bad at my house. You could sit in the grass and the box elders would just scurry. And you'd look on the side of our house where the sun hits, and it would just be covered in box elder bugs. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Our house is infested with bugs. And then we had a tree guy say, well, dude, you've got box elder trees. I mean, they this is where they multiply and they breed, and they, you know, it's awful. So we had to cut them down. And I was so disappointed because I hate cutting trees. I hate cutting trees down. And so we cut them down, and inevitably, we keep seeing these little shoots come off of this dead stump that's been treated. Somehow this tree, these trees will not die. And so this last summer, I was so busy, I didn't get time to trim them. And these things would have grown huge again. And so we have to keep trimming them down. But I was reminded of this, no matter how much the world, I love how the Holy Spirit works. No matter how much the world wants to put to death Christ and religion and you know, God and all of this stuff, it's impossible. You can't. Because a shoot will always, God is so powerful and strong that he will always remain true. He will always remain, you know, in place, and no one will ever be able to, you know, squash out the light. And see, there's our lesson. Let's just call it a day. Awesome. Praise the Lord. I love how this works. And so, again, our tree is that I cut off a branch, and I always choose these carefully, because if you can see on the tree, there's like buds that are just waiting to sprout, okay? And again, these little pods on there represent life, and we know, and we all look for it, and come March or, you know, late March, we start to look at our trees, and we're like, I wish winter would go away. I just want spring to come. And so I always pick a tree that's got lots of buds that represent life, that we know this tree is not dead, that you know, the Christian offshoot here is alive. And so what we do, though, is we put this branch in here, again, signifying this passage in Isaiah that talks about a shoot, you know, will come off of the stump from Jesse, speaking of Jesus, of the coming Messiah. So this dead branch is really full of life and signifies Christ and the coming Messiah. And so what we do each week is we create or we make an ornament that would be some kind of an Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the birth of Christ, a representation of Jesus, something that would signify Christ. And then we have a couple of verses to share. So last week we had the scarlet, we had a lesson from Lisa, which was awesome. And about this scarlet rope from Rahab, Joshua. Okay, and so she shared the story with us on that. And then Kevin and Kathleen came up with this, the most unique to date ornament I have seen in the last 17 years of doing this, where they came up with a passage about he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. And they have a sneaker with a little snake glued to that, which was really cool, which, again, signifies Christ. So I sent out a message, asked a bunch of people if you would create an ornament. So is there anyone who did that would like to share it this morning? Glenn? Did you hang it already? Oh, did you guys hang it already? Well, come and share. What is it? You all means what, you remember? God with us, right? So that's really cool. Did you guys make that? Yeah? That's really cool. Awesome. Anybody else have an ornament? Clara, anybody else make one? No? Okay. So next week we'll do it. So this is a cue for you that you guys can make an ornament. Be as creative as you would like. Again, I shared last week one of my favorite ones from prior years was one of our gals at church made a little loaf of bread. This little tiny loaf of bread, and it was a real loaf of bread, and she wrapped a little ribbon around it and had the Jesus, a verse saying that he's the bread of life. And so, you know, be creative, and if you've already made one, feel free to make another one. Let's, like, really deck this tree out, so everybody, you know, be creative, take some time, and we can do that. So that is great. So at this moment, before we get into the message, if you guys want to go, whoever's doing nursery, you guys can go back there, and the kids can all go into the kitchen to practice for the play. That would be great. So we'll, yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes.
But the second thing is we found out that Jesse is
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. So really what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Is that really the case? I mean, the money stays there, right? Right on. That's cool. Yeah, I was really excited. Jesse called too, and his company is hiring him back, so he'll be back for 6 months. So that's really exciting. So, all right, guys, if you want to go back, that would be great. You know that guy who was here with us for a year? The Verbo's son, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Oh. Ah, I see. That's cool. We know, we've been there. Just kidding. No. I love it. Laughter is a good thing, right? It's a really good thing. So, open your Bibles to Isaiah, please. We're going to look at Isaiah 11, but as you're going there, really what I love about today's service is that this morning's service will encompass the complete essence, really, of our Christian faith from beginning to end. It's for me, it's one of the most enjoyable and joyful times of the year is Christmas. I love Christmas. And today, being the second Sunday of Advent, we've seen that Ben named the candle Or, which means to be again or become light. And we've already been given hope, so we in the promise of the coming Messiah, and now we're given this to be or become light. And what I love about this is how fitting this is, because the Israelites were oppressed. You know, the children of Israel were oppressed, and they were downtrodden, and they needed hope. They needed hope, and they had a hope of a coming Messiah. And now here we're given this light. You know, this promise of light. And if you read in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." So, here the people are given hope. They're given, you know, the promise that a king was coming, and not only that, but that he was righteous and that he was just, and that he would be a light in this dark time, in this dark place that they were living. And he would be a king that would lead them into peace and into safety. And that not only all of those things, but that he would offer salvation. And so they were looking forward to this coming Messiah. And so the children of Israel at that time, were looking forward to this, whereas you and I today are looking back. So we have the whole essence of, we see in the very beginning, the promise of a Messiah, and today we are here to celebrate the birth of Christ and looking back and celebrating his birthday. And I love this, that the Messiah has already come. And what I love is that the fact that you and I are standing or sitting here today is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that we can't even draw close to God unless he draws us. So the fact that you're even sitting here, the fact that you even have a desire to know Jesus at all or know God, is only because he is drawing you. And so I love that. And I love that promise that we have in the Messiah and Jesus and what he did on the cross. And not only what he did, but because Jesus died, because of what he did on the cross, we have been grafted into his family. We've been adopted into his family. And we're called his children. And I love that. We are children of the living God. You know, we often talk about God, we talk about Jesus, in almost kind of like a a supernatural sense, like there's this distance and there's not this real connection. And, you know, we talk about, oh, Jesus, and this is what he did, and this is what he was like, and it's all kind of past tense. But we serve a living God. Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. And we serve a living God. And our relationship to God has been restored through him. And we're no longer enemies with the creator of the universe. That's pretty powerful, if you think about it. Before we come to Christ, before we acknowledge him as Savior, we're enemies of God. Enemies of God. I mean, okay, I might be able to stomach being enemies with, you know, Joe down the street, okay? Or maybe this person I work with that I can't stand, or we just don't get along, or we clash. Okay, we'll deal with that. But enemies of God, I mean, that's a scary thing to be called or labeled. It's a scary place to sit saying, wow, if I don't know Jesus, if I have never accepted him, if I've never asked him to come into my heart, I'm an enemy of God. That's crazy when you think about that. You know, I mean, Scripture is really clear about we need a Savior. We need salvation. And if we don't have Jesus, we will be out of God's presence for eternity. That's pretty hardcore. And so here, Jesus came, the Messiah came. He died on a cross. He paid the price for our sin. And when we have acknowledged that and embraced that, we're forgiven. And that relationship's been restored. And then we're able to have communion and fellowship with God. And not only that, but live with him in his presence for eternity. And that is amazing. That is why we're here. That is the sole message of the Bible and why we are here today, is to accept that, embrace that, and then go share that with people who have never heard it. Amen? Yeah, that's it. So, all of this because of the one with a capital O of whose birthday that we are here to, you know, prepare for and celebrate at Christmas, the Jesus. So, having talked about the Jesse tree just a few minutes ago, I want to read this verse, this passage from Isaiah 11. So if you'll follow with me, Isaiah 11, the first 10 verses. And it reads, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." What is that a picture of? Yeah, that's a picture of heaven. And you know, when somebody has a pet that passes away and they're really upset, you know, I've had three dogs in the last, I don't know, 12, 15 years that we've had to put down. That have been really, you know, they've gotten to that age and they've gotten health issues or whatever, and we've had to put them down, and it was really hard. And I've talked with many people over the years who have lost animals, and they've been really upset about it. And some preachers will say, oh, animals don't have souls and they're not going to be in heaven, and you know, and they're really upset, and they say, well, what do you think? You know, and I said, I always come to this verse, and I say, well, if there's no animals in heaven, then why is Isaiah talking about this as a picture of heaven, that, you know, they'll all live together in harmony and peace, and the little children will lead them, and you know there'll be animals in heaven. And I love this passage because, you know, it's such an amazing picture of the love of Christ and what will happen when we're in heaven. But last week, when we looked a little bit at just one part of this verse, we were talking about getting to know Jesus, okay? Knowing his character, his personality, you know, what he's like. And we looked at Isaiah and Isaiah 9, and we got this picture. And we talked about he's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is Jesus. And again, this passage in Isaiah 9 tells me that Jesus is God. Again, this is another. I am so big on emphasizing when the word points out where Jesus himself is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Okay, and we see this right here because Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor, which this again supports the Trinity, okay, because we know who's the counselor that we have been given. The Holy Spirit, right? So here, Jesus is equated the same with that title, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again, this supports the Trinity and that Jesus and God, they're one. We don't know how that works, but we know that this is what the Word teaches us. So these titles reveal the identity of Christ. And this morning, as we looked at as we read this passage in 11, I want to look at just a couple more descriptions of Jesus that I think will help us to get to know him a little bit better. And things like the passage said, the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom and understanding, counsel and power, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, all of these things will rest upon him. You know, and then the passage says, he will not judge by what he sees or hears. Now, I like this because it won't matter what you look like. It's not going to matter what other people say about you. You know, we know that he will judge with righteousness, with justice, and faithfulness. We know that Jesus is loyal. He's a loyal friend to the end. And that when we stand before God, we know we're not going to be like, oh, well, dude, you're really out of shape. You're really this. You're really that. You know, you really didn't cut it. You know, you don't quite look the mold apart. So, no, I'm not going to let you in. You know, we know he's not going to judge us that way. We know that. He will not judge by what he sees or hears. So, you know, I had a conversation last week with one of my kids. There was one of their associates in one of their groups doesn't like them. And she was really upset and says, you know, so-and-so doesn't like me. And I said, yeah, you know, that's hard. I go, people will like you, people will dislike you, and sometimes people will dislike you for the dumbest reasons. You know, maybe they don't like the way you do your hair or whatever. And I said, you have to learn to only go by with what does God feel about you? You know, what does Jesus think of you? I mean, because that's the only thing that matters is where do you find your self-esteem? Do we find our self-esteem and, hey, do I look the best? Am I this successful? Do I have this much in my retirement? You know, what are we looking to for acceptance? Or, you know, it can't be what the world thinks. We should know this by now, right? It's only by what God thinks. And what does God think about you? That'll be the question I pose for you today. Is what does God think about you? When Hugo, when God looks at you and he sees you, he's like, man, what goes through his mind? You know what I mean? You know, Sharon, what does God think about you? You know, I want you to think about that. And what I love is you don't have to guess. None of us have to come up and say, well, I think he'd probably like the way my outfit matched today, or my shoes, maybe I, you know, my shoes matched, or, you know, God's not going to look at that, right? And that's the one thing I love about church. This is the first time in all the years that I've been speaking where I've actually worn jeans and not dressed up on Sunday, because when I was pastoring, I always felt like I had to really dress up, you know, because I'm the pastor. I got to do that, but I have to. And I don't know why, but this is the first time in my life I've ever felt so free and comfortable as part of a family to just be who I am. Because I would always tell people when I was pastoring, they'd say, well, okay, I've never been to a church like yours. You know what I mean? What do I wear? And I would go, oh, man, you wear whatever you want. I'm such a hypocrite, right? I would tell these guys, oh, just come as you are. Wear whatever you want. And then every Sunday, I'm all like, okay, you know, am I all dressed up? And it's ridiculous. But he will not judge on what you, on what he sees or hears. Somebody's got a bad opinion about you. Somebody spreads a gossip or a rumor about you. Who cares? God is our defense. He's our shield. Don't waste your breath or time trying to fix those things or trying to rectify those things or put to death those things. Let God be your defense. Let him be your shield. And so I'm very grateful that he will judge on righteousness, that he's just, that he's faithful. And then the passage says he will bring peace. So much so that we see in this passage the beasts of the field lie down together in harmony, right, with his children. You know, he talks about a little child putting their hand into a snake's, you know, nest and not getting bit. He talks about a child leading, you know, and the cow and the bear will lay down together. That's pretty, you know, that's so amazing. I look forward to heaven because it's just going to be so out of control against everything we've ever thought. I can't wait to see it. I'm jealous of those that I know that are already there, because I'm just thinking, man, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And when you're struggling and when you're having a hard time, think about passages like this. You know, turn into the New Testament and look at, you know, where heaven is described as having streets of gold and, you know, the 12 gates being of giant pearls. I mean, think about that. And if that doesn't give you hope, then you're dead. Then you think about it, we're going to be in a place, eventually, we'll all be there. And it's going to be absolutely breathtaking. And so he's going to bring peace. And especially today, when you think about what's happened in San Bernardino, what's happened in Paris, you know, what happened in Georgia. And then not only that, but I was reading yesterday articles about in Africa, in I forget the name of the country, but there was another mass. You know, we never hear too much about those things that happen regularly. But there's just unrest and violence everywhere around us. And I'm longing for Jesus to just come and bring us peace and safety. And I love this because it, you know, the children of Israel, they always were in battles. They were always struggling. They were always persecuted. They were always having to fight for their land and fight for their, you know, freedom. And here they were looking so forward to that Messiah to bring them that. And we will all have that. That should give us hope that this is not all there is. And I'm so grateful for that. So he'll bring peace. And then the last thing he said is he will stand as a banner for his people. So proclaiming truth, offering sanctuary and rest for the weary. You know, I know sometimes we can get weary. We can get down and out. We've had trials. We've had hardships. We get worn out. And here Jesus is going to be a banner for us. He's going to give us a place of rest and rejuvenation, really. And so I love this scripture. In these few short verses, we see the promise of the Messiah coming, the hope of our salvation. We see a promise of renewal, a new home, a new place of rest, you know, our heavenly residence, if you will, or, you know, a peaceful place. And it's going to be incredible. And again, we begin our Advent season with light, and this light will progressively burn brighter as we get closer, as each candle is lit. And again, it's signifying the light that is with us. We can have that same peace. We don't have to wait for it when we get into heaven. We can have that peace now. We can have that with us today in the midst of whatever trial we're going through. And this is why, this is the backdrop of why I put that little insert in over there for joy. Because you'll read it, and I'll just give you a synopsis really quick, is that this guy, this king, wanted someone to paint the perfect picture of joy. And then he has two pictures. One is of this beautiful, pristine lake that's surrounded by mountains and the water is just crystal clear and you look at it and it's like, wow, how peaceful. You know, when I see stuff like that, I think, oh, I wish I could be on a boat just floating on that lake right now and it'd be the ultimate picture of peace. And then somebody else paints a picture of this, you know, terrible lightning in the sky and water, this huge waterfall, and this, you know, it's a storm setting and it's really chaotic. But then in the, underneath the waterfall, they notice there's a little nest with birds perched in there. And so this mother bird has somehow found a way to put a nest in underneath this waterfall, and they're just sitting in their nest. And the king, you know, chooses that and says, wow, what a perfect example of what pure joy is when you can have that kind of peace in the middle of that chaos. And I love that because we live in a chaotic world. We live in chaotic times. So much is uneasy right now, and there's so many things happening. But do we have peace? We have to ask ourselves. So your second question after what does God think of me is, do I have peace in the middle of this place I'm at in my life? You know, it's hard. Last night was a great example. We had a really busy day yesterday. And Stacy was gone, and I was doing a whole bunch of stuff while she was at the women's thing. And we had all these things that needed to get done. And then I guess it was about 6 o'clock or so, I told the kids, if you finish your chores, I'll take you and I'll get a Christmas tree. You know, that was kind of my barter, my, you know, do this and I'll do this. And so, of course, she's on it. And she's ready to do everybody else's chores, you know, and which they were loving. And so, she, you know, she gets it all done. And so by, you know, the time 7 o'clock or so rolled by, I was done. You know, parents, you get it. You're wiped out. You've had the day. And all I could think in my mind is, I just want to go take a hot shower. I just want to go climb into bed, maybe watch something, and then just pass out. And so, and Stacy was the same way. She was really tired. She had napped, you know, before that. And so I was thinking, I really don't want to go get a Christmas tree tonight. And so I said, you know, guys, let's just do it. We'll just do it tomorrow night. And then I just watched Clara's countenance fall. She's like, and then she just kind of turned around and walked upstairs. And then I'm like, you know, and Stacy, I looked at her and I said, we could do it tomorrow. She goes, we can't do it tomorrow. We have a homeschool meeting. We got this. And I went, all right. You know, and so I was so stressed out. And then we go over to Glover and all their trees were dead and they were awful. Because I'm a freak that I always have to have a real Christmas tree. And so it wasn't that it was, I could just go down the street and get one. We had to now go shop for the one, right? And so, and it's a tradition Clara and I do together. And so I went up into her room and she was really down. I said, hey, why don't you go get dressed? She goes, why? And I said, because we're going to go get a tree. She goes, I thought you said we weren't going to go get one. But she's trying to contain her excitement, you know? And I said, no, we need to. I said, we would go and you did your part and I need to do mine. And I tried to be really excited when inside I was thinking, oh, Lord, just come Jesus now. You know? And so she just immediately perked up. She got all excited, got dressed, and then we went out and we found our tree and we got home. And then I thought we were just going to leave the tree. Put it up, put some water in it, and we'll deal with it later. No. I got home. Sammy had climbed up into the attic, pulled everything down. They cleared they were on it. And I just went, oh, you're killing me. So, of course, it was 11 o'clock by the time we finally finished everything. And I'm glad. I'm happy because I woke up this morning and I saw our tree and it was, you know, we decorated and it was good. My joy returned. But it was not there last night, I'll admit. But, so we can have this joy today. We really can. Think about, I thought about you and I know how we are when we host parties and we do things and it's just stressful. And so, could we have peace in the middle of those times? You know, can we do that? We need to. We've got a couple more weeks, 3 more weeks maybe, before Christmas comes, right? Can you have that peace? You can. Don't forget why we're celebrating this. What the light is about, what the tree here is about, what the decorations are about, is that we're celebrating Jesus. We are celebrating the fact that the Messiah came that we are able to live in heaven with him. We have been covered. We have been excused. We've been pardoned. We've been justified. So we no longer have to fear that judgment. We no longer have to fear hell, that we have eternity with him. And I love this because, again, we have hope in the scriptures. He is the light, and the light came into the world. And the light came into the world. He paid the price for our sins. And today I wanted to close with just a kind of an intimate communion. So we have the beginning and the end. We started with Advent. We started with the Old Testament prophecies. We see Old Testament examples of our tree. And then we finish with doing what Jesus said when he said in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So this morning, I love this. I love how God works, because we're proclaiming the Messiah. We're proclaiming the Messiah, and we're proclaiming the Messiah. And we're doing it all across 4,000 years of history plus. So let's go ahead and we'll take a couple minutes. I want to share one more thing. This is, I already did. I'm good. Cool. This morning, let's pray. And I'll leave you with a passage from John 14:27 that says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, and I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is his encouragement to you today, that Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." Think about that statement for just a second. How many of you have watched that the Passion of the Christ, that Mel Gibson movie? Have you seen that? If you have not seen it, see it. It's powerful. But I want you to think about Jesus, you know, came, lived, and knew what was ahead. He knew the suffering. He knew the sacrifice. He knew what lay ahead, and he did it anyway. Think about think about just going to work tomorrow. Some of us dread that, right? We're like, "Oh, I don't want to go to work tomorrow." Think about maybe trials, maybe about hard things that are ahead, and how we dread it, and we don't have peace, and we get anxious about it. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." Even though he knew all of this, he had peace, complete peace. And he says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives, because the world gives on condition. The world gives and takes back. The world gives with false pretenses or false motivations." Jesus says, "I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." So whatever you're going through, don't let your hearts get so weighed down that you're afraid or you're troubled or you're struggling. Just remember that Jesus came, and that you know him, and that you're his child, that you are his follower, that his Holy Spirit lives within you, and you can have that peace, and that he's going to work everything out, whatever it is that we're going through. He'll work it all out, and he'll work it out for our good, because his word says so. So when you think about, what does God think about me? You've got to go search the scriptures. You've got to see, what does the Bible tell me? How does God really think about me? And when you see the promises that he's given, the way that he looks at you, you're going to be blown away. You're going to be blown away. Think about the promises that. And so this morning we'll finish with communion. We'll remember why he came, what he did for us. And I want you to just search your hearts. And we won't have the worship team come up. But what I want to do, and this is going to be, I'm going to make you step out of your comfort zone just a little bit, okay? So I want everybody to gather together, and we're going to sit. We're going to just be like, why don't we just stand here, okay? And what we can do is we'll just take the communion together as a family. Instead of being so sporadic and just kind of going back and hiding in your little seat and, you know, doing your own little thing, let's just do this as a family, because this is the family that God has given us right here. And this is his family. And we're all together, brothers and sisters. And what I want you to do is we'll just pray. And then I want you to just spend a couple minutes of, think about the things that might be robbing you of your joy, robbing you of peace. Think about the things, those trials or those struggles that you've got going on, and then just leave them at his feet. Leave them there. Leave them at the foot of the cross, and just say, you know what, Lord, today I choose to just accept that peace that you give me, and I know you're going to work out all this other junk, and so today I'm just remembering what you did for me, and I just want that peace. Huh. Could we do that? Would that be good? So why don't you guys come on up, and I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and close.